Now let us turn to John and chapter 15 and verse 9. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now there is no greater or purer or more perfect love than the love which is within the Trinity, between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is continuing, perfect, and complete love. And love is indeed, I think it is safe to say, the essence of the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Love, if we might just use terms which we can understand ourselves, although they're not really applicable. It's as if love is the very atmosphere or environment of the Trinity. The atmosphere or environment between the three persons of the Trinity. Now, the great statement in the Word of God, which says God is love, it is really saying the same thing. Very often we mistranslate and misinterpret that to make it mean God is loving or God is all loving. But that is really not what it says. It says God is love. He is love in himself. And he is love in his triunity, in the relationship between the three persons. He is love. So, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is love, and it is between the three persons an equal and a mutual and a reciprocal love. They all love one another perfectly, and they all love one another in the same way and with the same perfection. I think it is safe to say that this is the ultimate of all perfection, what God is in himself. And the ultimate of all relationships is what exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, moving forward from there, we can deduce that the love between the Father and the Son, that is what we are particularly looking at tonight, now that love was the same love as was between the other two, between the three persons as three. That the Father loved the Son. It was with a perfect love. And this was a love in which the Son, when he was here on earth in his humiliation, this was a love in which he had all confidence. He knew that the Father loved him. And he knew that the Father, because of that, always heard him. And it was, again, typical of the intra-Trinitarian love, that they all three persons had that confidence in one another, that they loved one another with a perfect love. So the Father loved the Son. That is so important to us. We have that in John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. And again in John 5:20, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And as far as we are concerned, and as far as our interests in the gospel are concerned, this whole matter is of the greatest importance, because it is a fact that the fountain, the very fountain and root and womb of the gospel, is the intra-Trinitarian love. And particularly, it is the love between the Father and the Son. That is the womb of the gospel. And what Jesus has done wonderfully is that he has extended that love to his people. As the Father, he says, has loved me, so have I loved you. So he has extended to us not a part love, not a less than perfect love, but the love that is within the Trinity. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That is wonderful, almost beyond our conception. Really, when we really think about it, we say, is it really possible that he would love sinners with that love which existed within the Trinity, within the Trinity itself? Now let's look at the question, how then did the Father love the Son? Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. How did the Father love the Son? What can we say about the nature of the Father's love for the Son? And these are absolutely fundamental things. These are not esoteric things which we might say, well, this is for theologians. Not so. These are things which are the very bedrock of our faith. These are the things which anchor and root our faith with utter permanence. It was, first of all, perfect love. It was unconditional love. Perfect love is always unconditional. Any love that has conditions attached to it is not perfect love. It has reservations. It has drawing back. But this was perfect love, and if we might relate it to our own concepts, that it was a love which was free of all the things that make our love imperfect, as our love always is. But it was free of all things, all these things, free of all sin. Even the best that we do is mixed with sin. So even our love is mixed with sin. We love the lovely. We love the lovable. But what we have in the love of Christ for us is a love which loves these very things, the unlovely and the unlovable. So our love depends on a return or a response. Even if it is the amazing love which we sometimes see of a parent for a child who is wayward and who returns no love, as far as we can see. Even in a situation like that, there is always on the part of the parent a search, a yearning for some response. It is a love which draws them. But in the love of Christ for us, there was no drawing. There was nothing to draw him. So we can say that the Father's love was free of all these things, utterly free of any motives, utterly free of any pressure, utterly free of any obligation. It was just a perfect love, utterly pure, utterly perfect, and there is in it no motivation from outside, nothing to move it from outside, nothing to put any pressure or any obligation or any indebtedness on it. It is entirely from within himself. Father loves the Son. Just if we were to ask, well, why does he love him? The only answer we can give is he loves him because he loves him. So, we have this perfect love between the Father and the Son. Then it was an eternal love. It had no beginning and it will have no end. It is a love which we might say it simply is and is and is, was and was and was, and will be and will be and will be. It is not like our love again. We always have to refer back to our own love so that we can have something to contrast with the love of the Father for the Son. Our love always has a beginning in time. It is never eternal love. And often it has an end in time. And sadly too often, it has an end in time and in the life of the person. Because sometimes love dies on our part and sometimes love is quenched. So it is very much of time. And though the spiritual quotient of our love, the love, if we love the brethren as we are commanded to love them, our love for the brethren is a true spiritual love, a love which is love for them, not because we like them, but because we find them easy to get on with, but that we love them because Christ loved them. That is, I suppose, the highest spiritual love that we can reach to. And it is very possible, and I would say very likely, and I do believe it myself, that such love enables us to lay up treasure in heaven, and that it will in some way continue in heaven. And that is, for example, the love that we have for one another, as we say, in the bonds of Jesus Christ. Emphatically, not because we find these people easy to love, but because they are his, and he has chosen them from all eternity. And because of that, we love them. Or against that eternal love, so often human love does not endure even for this life. The Father's love for the Son is eternal and unchanging. And it is enduring. And it is unquenchable. And it is undiscourageable. It is a love which is eternal. It just is and is and is. Then thirdly, it was a particular and personal love. The Father loved him as a son. He loved his person. He loved him particularly as a true son, mysteriously a begotten son. And it was a true father-son relationship. As the father said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And even on the cross, in the darkest moments, and even in the dereliction, there is no question at all about it that the father's love for the son was unbroken, that it continued, because it was divine love and it was particular and personal, without interruption, without darkening at any time. So Christ loves us in a particular and personal way. Paul was able to say not just he loved us and gave himself for us, but he was able to say he loved me and gave himself for me. It is that personal aspect of the love of Christ for us, each one personally, that is what is really precious to us. And that is one of the really real foundation stones of Reformed doctrine, that he loves each one, and that he loves each one personally, not in the mass, but personally and individually. So, in that similar way, Christ loves us, not as sons, but as brethren. We have the phrase in Romans 8, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He will always be the firstborn. There is only one, and can only be one. But there will be many brethren. And he will love each one, particularly and personally. Each one will be able to say, he loved me and gave himself for me. So these are just three basic things. Now there are other things which we could go into, but which would perhaps make this rather long and rather complicated. Like, for example, this love, the Father's love for Christ as the mediator. And that's very, very important too, that he loved him even in his humanity, in his God-manhood, and that he loved him even in his humiliation, and he loved him even when the world was mocking him and scourging him and crucifying him and doing all these things. That he loved him as the mediator, the God-man. But there we are not able very easily to relate that to to our love and to Christ's love for us. So let us move on just for a moment or two before we close to the exhortation we have here. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Are we seriously taking on board the Father's love for the Son? Are we seriously able to take on board that Christ extends to us the perfect love which is within the Trinity? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And if so, if we can say yes, yes to all these things, then we have to take on board the exhortation. course, it flows out of the great truth of the Father's love for the Son. As the Father loved the Son, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in my love. Now, what does that say? I think it is continue in the awareness and the appreciation of my love for you. To live in the appreciation of that love. To love in continuing thankfulness for that love. And loving, continuing in praise and prayer in response to that love, and seeking to glorify God for the wonderful thing that He has done. And He says, continue ye in my love, in appreciation of that love, but also surely continue in loving me. Continue in my love, continue in your love for me, and surely for all those that I have loved. Here we have the bonds of Jesus Christ that bind us all together to be one in Christ Jesus. And when we are conscious of these bonds, these unbreakable bindings of the love of Christ for his people, then we will not only love himself, but we will love all those that he loved. And however imperfect our love may be, and however shortcoming, however short it may be, nevertheless, it is a love which is a response to his love. It is a love which continues because it is responding to his love. He is saying, continue ye in my love. Remember that all those who are bound to me in this love, remember that I received them, that I received them in love in eternity, and that I received them just as surely as I received you as sinners. Because although not having been born, yet the Lord knew as God the end from the beginning. He knew what would be in every one of them to the end of their day. Everything that was ever going to be in you and in me, he knew that. And yet he received the gift, and he received it as a love gift. Remember, he is saying, continue ye in my love. Continue in that love that I have for all my people, for all those whom I love and have loved from eternity and will love eternally. Our gracious God, we pray that thou wilt stretch and expand our understanding of the wonder of thy love. Help us, Lord, to continue in thy love. Help us to live it out. Help us to live it within. Help us to have it in our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to battle for it against all the inroads of Satan into our lives, against all the injections which he injects in order to reduce and in order to smear and besmirch the love that we have for one another. So thou bless us now as we continue together. Grant us thy fellowship and grant us thyself, and forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.